Hey, my name is Neil. I'm one of the pastors here, and today is a little different. Let me start with the Christmas story. Luke 2. Has ever Luke 2 been read after Christmas? Luke 2, beginning in verse 1. At that time, the Roman emperor, Augustus, a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. Joseph traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took Mary with him, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel told them. This is the word of the Lord. And this morning, I thought we could revisit Christmas Eve, revisit Christmas morning and what God has done. Let me pull out my little whiteboard that we had on Christmas Eve, if you remember. And on Christmas Eve, I said that in Greek, there are two types of time. There is Chronos time and Kairos time. And let me redraw the picture. Chronos time is calendar time. It is days of the week time. We get the word chronology from Chronos time. And right now, it's Chronos time is December 28th. 9:25 a.m., a beautiful Sunday morning. There's another type of time that the Bible talks about, and that's Kairos time. Kairos time is significant moment time. Significant moment time, change your life time. On a chronology, on a timeline, this is you, on we go, we're born, and that's a Kairos moment. When we get born, it changes our family's lives forever. Joy to the world. And it also changes your life forever as you enter the world out of the womb. And then along the way, we have all these moments, these Kairos moments, these significant times. Could be a fight with our parents. It could be an apology with our parents. It could be a new job opportunity. It could be a song you hear on the radio that just stops you, just floors you and brings you to tears. It could be a scripture that you're reading scripture and it's like the Holy Spirit is speaking directly to you about this. It's a Kairos moment. It's a significant change your life moment. And if we pause and we reflect on these kairos moments, it has the potential to change the trajectory of our life. We could miss it. There's plenty of kairos moments that I've missed in my life as I race through. I'm too busy. I'm on doing things. We got to go. Got a to-do list. On we go. But God is patient and kind, and he allows us to continue to have these moments in our life where he speaks to us. He beckons us. He wants us to notice. Jesus being born was a kairos moment for the world. And we preached about that. We celebrated that just a few days ago. And I thought that we could do this. We could pause and not rush to the next thing, not rush to the next moment, but pause and reflect once again on Jesus' birth, on the significance of Jesus in our lives. And that's what we're going to do today. Did you know that in the Bible there is no verse that says, thou shalt meet as a church on Sundays and listen to a sermon on the weekly? There's no verse about that. Not one place in the Bible does it say one person has to preach a sermon every Sunday. And so we're just going to enjoy that permission today. And I'm not going to preach a sermon this morning. We're actually going to have a little conversation. I'm going to invite up a few friends, and we're just going to talk together about what God has done in our lives. That's the plan for today. All right? So here's who we have joining us this morning. We have Gabriela Suarez, we have Wendy Navaraj, and we have our own worship pastor, Ricky Samaria, coming. As they're coming up, as we're getting set up, you guys, I'm going to ask you to say your names and then tell us what your favorite moment was from this week. Why doesn't everybody else turn to their neighbor and, if you don't know them, say your name and then share a favorite moment from the week. All right, go. And you guys can come on up and we'll get set. All right, we're good. We've got our water, we've got our drinks. This is cozy. I got my Christmas socks. Christmas elf going on right here.
I got my good black socks on.
Nice socks. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, this is nice. I like this. Well, let's make some introductions. I already said everybody, told everybody what your name was, but tell us your name again. And then what was one of your favorite moments from the week?
My name is Wendy Naravij, and this past week I got to spend time with my son and his family and my daughter and her family, and we were up in the mountains in a cabin and got to go to Yosemite and do some hiking, but my favorite moments were with being able to hold and play with my little nine-month-old granddaughter.
That's pretty wonderful. Very good. I'm glad you had such a good time.
Well, my name is Gabriela Suarez, and my favorite time this week is waking up on Christmas morning with my 19-year-old son and my 21-year-old son at the same time, which never happens now that they're older, and just being in the moment and watching them open gifts. That was my favorite moment.
That's awesome.
My name is Ricardo Semeria, and my favorite moment this week was to spend Christmas Day with my years-old wife, waiting for our delicious Chinese food.
Yum.
And that was actually my favorite moment, spending time with her and having lunch.
That's pretty nice. I'm Neil. My favorite moment, it's hard to choose. I helped lay new tile on my in-law's bathroom floor over Christmas. It's pretty fun. I would say my runner-up favorite moment was my mother-in-law's rolls. My daughter helped chop fresh herbs. These rolls were unbelievably good. I told her at the dinner table, I don't think these rolls could be any better. In fact, if we were at some bed and breakfast somewhere like in Switzerland, out in the Alps, And the grandma comes out with the rolls that she's cooked in her family recipe for generations. They wouldn't be as good as these rolls. But honestly, actually, my favorite moment was Christmas Eve service. It was just such a joy to be here at Covenant Grove as our first Christmas here with the church and get to celebrate. And I was very excited about it. So that was my Christmas. Hey, we're talking about what just happened. What just happened that we celebrated, what's happened in our own lives, and how Jesus has changed us. So I got a question for you just to start us off, nice and easy. If you were to be in the Christmas story, which character would you like to be? We got like shepherds, angels, Mary, Joseph, King Herod maybe. Just kidding. Wendy, who would you like to be in the Christmas story?
I chose the shepherds because they were able to see the angels singing in heaven, that heaven was opened, and to see that. And recently I've just been thinking about when we gather here and sing praises, that the angels and the believers in heaven are singing with us. Amen. And some of those believers in heaven are my family. And I think about my husband, my parents, a sister and a brother, aunts and uncles and grandparents that are there. And it's just a wonderful time. And I imagine that Jesus is sitting on his throne and there's a big smile on his face. Wow. Because this is the joy that he looked forward to when he humbled himself and became a human baby, grew up and suffered and died for our sins, and so that we could be forgiven and adopted into his family and end up in heaven with him forever. So this is the joy that he was holding on to through all his suffering.
Amen. That's our sermon for this morning right there. Thank you, Wendy. Wow. I love that. That would be pretty tremendous to be out there to see the angels and think through all of that. That's wonderful. Gabby, how about you?
Well, out of all of those wonderful names, King Herod, but no, not King Herod. Angels. I picked the angels. And when I looked up what the roles of angels were, I liked those roles. It was minister to believers, messengers, protectors, guides, warriors, worshipers, executor of God's will. And so I feel like in my life I try to strive of all those roles as best as I can. So I would say angels.
Very good, very good. I feel like I would be the person inside the house keeping the fire going to boil water for hot water and rags. I'd just be like that person that's in the background doing this stuff and not sure what was going on, but like thinking, this feels important. I got to make sure this fire doesn't go out. They need hot water. Baby's coming. Ricky, how about you?
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. But I chose one of the magi, one of the wise men, because I would like to know how they found out. You know, how did God tell them that the king of the world was being born at the moment? So, and then, of course, you know, traveling and meeting Herod just to see the grin in his face. Knowing that he was bad. Anyway, all that adventure, I would have liked to be one of the wise men.
Yeah, that's so profound. Like the shepherds had such a quick journey. You know, they were close. Mm-hmm. The wise men had, like, what was it about the star that mm-hmm. made them think, oh, we got to go for the next how many weeks
yes.
traveling
mm-hmm.
to find out of what? We're not sure. Like,
we're not
what
sure.
a journey.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Yes.
So I've said that Jesus Christ's Kairos moment changes our life. And as Christians, we've experienced this, you know, that there's a moment in our lives, either we've grown up in the church and we realize, oh, this really is true. Or there's a time when we haven't been part of a church, but somehow, in some way, God gets our attention and we give our lives to him in faith. It's like just a deep Kairos moment. So why don't you tell us How did you first meet Jesus? What was that first moment like for you?
I grew up in the church, going to church and Sunday school every day, and on Wednesday evenings during Advent and Lent, and going to confirmation. But I never was invited to make Jesus my Lord and Savior until in eighth grade, in the summer, I went to a Christian camp, summer camp, and on the last day, the counselor led our group through the seven stations of the cross, and it was so powerful to meditate on Jesus' suffering. And at the end, she invited us to make Jesus our Lord and Savior. And that's when I did. I repented and made Jesus my Lord and Savior.
Wow. It's surprising, but I guess it makes sense that you could grow up in a church, but never realize, oh, this is a decision to make. This is something to own. And it took someone inviting you, challenging you. That's really interesting. Gabby, how about you?
Well, I was born and raised in a Catholic church, but I wasn't going all the time. And I did have many moments that I met Jesus, but never took that plunge. And it wasn't until I was in a very dark place in my life, and I was going to a local church, and I did celebrate recovery there for many years. And in 2003, with the help of the people there at the local church, I was baptized and gave myself to Christ then.
Wow.
So that was a very kairos moment.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell us what Celebrate Recovery is.
So Celebrate Recovery is for people that are going with all types of addictions. It doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol. It could be any type, or you're going through a crisis in your life. Could be divorce, could be a loss of a child, a loss of a relative, and you meet, you have like a meeting place first, like with food, you get to eat, and then you go into the sanctuary and you get to hear stories and testimonies of what God has done, and then you go out to groups and you get to have these group moments with these other people and listening to other people's stories, and it's just, and then you go through the 12 steps in a biblical way, and it's an profound and awesome time to be and know that you can be broken and still be healed.
Yeah, that's tremendous. I've been part of some Celebrate Recovery groups, and just the where you feel like there's no hope, and then you discover that other people have walked similar paths and that God is saving them and helping them through things.
Yes.
It's really just a wonderful group of people to be part of. I'm really glad you got to have that in your story and then like find Jesus.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
I'm very appreciative of it.
Yeah. Wow. Ricky.
Well, my Christian life has been progressively increasing from zero. Zero meaning, I was born Catholic because I was baptized in the Catholic Church. And my mom would go to church sometimes. I didn't pay attention. We all know that God is there. We believe in God. I believe in God, but the step is to start following God. And I started following God after something happened in our lives that was a shakeup. And that put faith in one of us. And I'm talking about Amy and I.
Okay, so how old were you?
This was about 20 years ago, not even 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm a teenage Christian man.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I guess that God brought Amy first as an anchor, and then she started pulling me in, and now I'm here. I mean, it's just a progression for people that was never a Christian before. It happens. It can happen in your life the way that you never expect. It could be through a burden. It could be through a miracle, through a healing. It could be through pain. Something God will do that will turn you in, open the door.
Yeah. Now, were you here in Modesto when that,
yes,
when that happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Remarkable. You were saying that, what church was it that you started going to first?
Modesto Covenant.
Modesto Covenant. Okay. And that got you into the covenant world, and then you came here and...
Slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Slowly, okay, into serving.
And then they're like, hey, what if you lead worship now?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Well, yeah, for me, I think I grew up in the church as well, and just went because that's what we did as a family, and that's what my grandparents did, and all that. And then it wasn't until maybe junior high where, for some reason, I don't know how this question got in my mind, but I thought, would I still believe this if my parents didn't go to church? And I'm not sure how that came into my head. And I had to sit with that and wonder, would I do this? And I decided, yeah, I would. I think I would believe this. I would go to church even if my parents didn't. And, you know, that got confirmed. It just kind of strengthened in high school. And I was like, no, I really, this is real. And I had this, you know, experience of God's love and God's peace and care for me. And then I've said this before, but, you know, in college, I started doubting maybe it's all made up, and because not everybody in the world can be right, and how do I know that I'm right in my faith, and if other people are wrong, and went through a lot of doubts, even though I had had deep faith. And then the Holy Spirit, you know, brought me through those doubts. But that was all part of kind of my kairos moments with God early on. Thinking about the Christmas Eve sermon, I talked about how the passage points out that Jesus is our king and he's our shepherd. And if he's our king, that means we obey him and we give him our attention and we actually worship him as king. And if he's our shepherd, that means we listen to him and we follow him. And then we receive what he has to give us. And that Matthew was emphasizing these two aspects of who Jesus was born that day. To be our king and our shepherd. And I was wondering, what are some of the times in your own life that you've experienced Jesus' kingly rule or his shepherding of you? Let's start with Gabby. We'll mix it up, and we'll come back to you, Wendy. Gabby, how about you go first?
Okay, well, first, when I followed Jesus, I wasn't following correctly. I only went to him when I had a crisis. I put him on a shelf. When I needed something, I would grab him, pray to him, and then put him right back. So I had to, it took some time and going to church and understanding that I had to submit to him and I had to surrender to him. So I had to do that first. And then I had to also make him authority over me. I was following the world, I was doing things for myself, but I wasn't surrendering to him. And so when I finally did that, he went to work on me. Because when you surrender to the Lord, he starts to work in you. And so what he did was he healed me through depression, he healed me through anxiety, and he freed me from sexual addiction.
Wow.
And I'm proudly here to say that I'm 5 years celibacy, single, and
wow,
happy.
Wow.
And that's,
amen,
all because I surrendered myself to the Lord and made him my authority. And it's very peaceful. I'm not living in chaos anymore.
Wow, that's
incredible.
And
it's just been, I'm very appreciative of that.
Yeah. Yes, we can say amen to that. Can I ask you, what was that like to surrender? Was that a prayer you prayed or a posture of your heart, or what was it for you?
It was a struggle. I'm not going to lie. It was a struggle. I kept pushing and pulling. I didn't want to give myself up. I thought I was giving myself up, but I really wasn't giving myself up. It was a selfish thing. And so I struggled for probably a good year, kicking and screaming, telling him, no, I don't want to do what you say. But when I did it, it was so freeing and so peaceful and so loving. It was a miracle in my life, and I'm so glad that I did that.
Wow. So you experienced Jesus' kingly rule not as like an oppressive, negative thing, but you said it was loving and freeing.
Yes, because of going to church and hearing the truth in the Bible. I mean, it was the Bible, and I am mm-hmm. God's daughter. I finally realized what a precious commodity I am towards him. And yeah. when I finally realized that, I finally mm-hmm. was free of all the things that the world was trying to tell me who I was.
Wow. Amen. Wow, that's great. Yeah. Praise God.
Yes.
What a significant moment. Mm-hmm. I'll come back to you in a second, but let me hear from Ricky. What was a Kairos moment for you? And how you've experienced God, Jesus being your king or your shepherd.
It's a daily thing for me. I find myself thanking the Lord for little things. And I've never done that before, you know. Making an appointment on time or just getting a song right. Getting a good rehearsal. the sun, I appreciate the sun, and sometimes just stop for a second and find yourself thanking the Lord. I think it's important to voice it out or to think it. And that's my transformation so far. Curiosity is big on me too about the Bible and matching the Bible with history of the world. I think that's probably, I want to say, is the way that God is saying, okay, I'm going to put this question mark on his brain so yeah. he can learn more about the word. And I find myself, you know, watching a lot of YouTube about the Shroud of Turin and about things of the Bible that that are historically proven.
Yeah, I love that. Just that curiosity. It's like God's made such an immense world.
Mm-hmm.
And he welcomes us in to see more and more of it. That's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You were saying something about giving thanks for little things.
Little things.
Just last year, tough year for me as I was, you know, discerning, you know, this job that was on offer and trying to get clarity with God. And sometimes it wasn't clear. And I remember just walking along the neighborhood and just like, God, I can't figure all this out, but thank you for the blue sky. That sky is really nice. Thank you for the way the leaves on the trees are moving. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful leaf. And I would just walk, and that's like, I couldn't get the bigger picture. I was just mm-hmm. thankful for the small picture. Is mm-hmm. that kind of like what you're saying? You're thankful for these little things?
Yes. Why not? I mean, it's something that is over us, even birds. And yeah, you can get romantic or whatever you want to call it, but the creation is all around us, and you know, it doesn't take much just to look up for a little bit and appreciate that moment.
And what has that done for you? How has that changed your experience of life?
Peace has been increased in my life. Mm-hmm. Comfort. Mm-hmm. Little joyful moments.
Yeah.
Learning the difference between being happy and being joyful, I guess.
Those are Kairos moments. That's changed the trajectory of your life moments. Mm-hmm. When even gratitude, like the opportunity for gratitude, can just like shift us and move us in a different direction.
Yes.
That's profound. Praise God. Wendy.
As I've lived so many years, I have many stories, but there, I chose one that's really outstanding in my life. Shortly after my husband died, I was in bed and thinking about how sad that my children have to grow up without a dad, and I was getting depressed, and I was overwhelmed by thinking about the responsibility that I had to raise three children on my own, and I just kept getting more and more depressed, and then Jesus just spoke into my thoughts, and he said, "Wendy, what can I do for you that would help you hope for the future?" And it just took me aback, and I had to think about that for a while.
Now, and can I just pause and say, what was that like? Was that an audible voice? Was it just this feeling you had, this thought you had? How do you describe that? Because, and I ask because sometimes it's difficult to discern God's voice because he's invisible, and he usually doesn't speak like I'm speaking now out loud. But the Bible says, as we follow him, we get to learn and understand his voice and how he communicates. So what was that for you?
It was a voice in my head that I just knew was Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like you hadn't made it up.
Right.
You wouldn't think of making that up.
Right.
It was like, I think this is God speaking to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So after I thought a while, I said, you know, these children are so intelligent. I really would like to see them go to college, but there's no way that I can afford to send them. And so Jesus said to me, I promise I'll make it happen.
Wow.
And so then I felt better because I knew that his promises he would fulfill. I believed that. And so then a few years later, my firstborn graduated from high school, went to college, and then beyond that, she got her teaching credential. And then my secondborn graduated from high school, went to college, then went to law school, passed his bar, and became a lawyer. And then my youngest graduated from high school, went to college, was working in his field, and took online classes, and then he earned his master's in aeronautic engineering. And I was just blown away and amazed and just praising God.
Amen to that.
What a thing for the shepherd. Sure. Sure, absolutely. Say more in just a second, but what a thing for your shepherd to care for you in a real time of loss. Like, just a terrible time. You walk through that dark valley of losing your husband. And just the insurance, the attention to you specifically in that moment. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I held on to the verse that says, he will carry the lambs in his arms, and he will gently lead those with young.
Yes.
Sometimes I think, where would we be without the scripture? Where would we be without God? And I mean, we have friends and neighbors who don't believe the truth of the Bible and don't have these things, but it's a game changer to sit and listen through scripture and then to listen as God speaks to us through our minds. It's a game changer in life. Wow. Okay, I have one more question for you. In Luke 2 that I just read, it talks about how Mary pondered all these things. So there, in all the wild, adventurous reality of childbirth, Mary's there, and then with Joseph, and then baby Jesus, and then this like gang of shepherds rolls in, and I'm sure that's not who Mary was looking forward to coming in. To see her baby, but the shepherds come in, and then we're not sure when, but sometime later the wise men come in, and but Mary's sitting there in this moment, and it says she pondered these things, and it's like she paused around the Kairos moment and just treasured them in her heart and wondered about them. She didn't rush on to the next thing. It's like, okay, this is a big deal, and I just need to slow down and think about it. And I think Mary leads the way for us in how to reflect on the things that God does for us. Is there something that you're treasuring right now, you're thinking about right now, that God's doing in you and you're just wondering about? And actually, I'll start. I'll go first. Something I'm thinking about is how God works through me withholding things from myself. I joke quite a bit about cookies, but the struggle is real. And so what is it like for me to withhold from taking seconds or thirds or fourths, you know? What's it like for me to withhold other desires that I have, kind of in the spirit of fasting? And how does God lean in and bless me and guide me as I withhold? It's not easy for me to do that, but that's what I've been thinking about, how God works through fasting and what he's asking of me to let go of so I can receive from him. Anyway, Wendy, how about for you?
I just took a different angle on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody has a different way of experiencing this and thinking through what God's doing.
Yeah, it was for many months after my husband died, my heart just hurt. It felt shattered, like it was in many pieces. And then I heard one Sunday the verse that where God was speaking to the Israelites and saying, "I will take out your heart of stone and give you a new heart." And then I realized that he is my creator. He can give me a new heart, or he can mend the one I have. And so I went to him and asked him. And Jesus said, "Well, you need to give me all the pieces of your heart, because I wanted to keep one just to kind of feel sorry for myself."
And, yeah.
And then he said, "Oh, I need all the pieces."
Oh, man.
And so I gave him, I said, "Okay," I gave him all the pieces, and he gave me a new heart. And in the morning when I woke up, my heart didn't hurt, and it hasn't hurt since then.
Wow. Amen. Praise God. That's amazing. It's like his steady, persistent pursuit of you, because he knows that it's for your best, for your wholeness. And you have to say, "Okay, I'll trust you," which is, I don't think, is easy to do, to trust our good shepherd. Even though we say he's our good shepherd, sometimes it's hard to trust him. Bless you. I'm so glad you were so blessed as you trusted him. That's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing the real intimate part of your life, the loss of your husband. That's so dear. Thanks, Wendy. Gabby.
Okay, well, being a single person, it's you know, sometimes lonely, or you feel lonely. And I remember a time during COVID, I was asking God why I was single and how long is this going to be? And I have a lot of love to give, and where can I put this love? And I remember him giving me a vision of helping economically disadvantaged children and giving them birthdays. And I was not going to church at the time, and I decided to go back to church. And so I came to Covenant Grove.
Wow. Is this where the birthday thing comes from?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, keep telling the story. That's amazing.
And I told this vision to Pastor Serena. And we, you know, we I just told her, that's it, kind of went away. And then I was in a life group, or I'm still in a life group, but I was in her life group. And first time I ever went to Modesto Gospel Mission Youth Center, we were there to volunteer. And the coordinator was speaking about the youth center, and she was saying that there was a need that the community kids did not get birthdays, and that they were just praying for birthdays. And Serena and I looked at each other, and she said,
amazing.
"That's your vision." And so I stepped up, and I understood God's assignment. And I took it on, and it's now 3 years strong, and those kids are amazing, and they're learning. I get to do a devotion, 15-minute devotion, and they are learning and understanding at such a young age, in a very dark place, about God. Wow. And I'm so privileged that I get to, being a single person, show my love in that way, the way God intended it. So I treasure
that,
that
What a moment. So just to retrace those steps, in your pain, loneliness, you cry out to God. God gives you a vision for how to share your love with others. You show up with Serena, and they say, is there anybody here who has a vision to do this? And you're like, yes, actually, that's why I'm here. And then you get our whole church involved in monthly going to the gospel mission to celebrate these kids' birthdays.
Yes, and I thank everyone that has helped. Thank you so much. So I applaud everybody.
Wow, absolutely. Wow, thanks. And thanks for being obedient and faithful. As the King, Jesus, allocates resources in his kingdom, he involves us to do it. And that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ricky, how about you? Oh.
My treasure is worship music. We have one way to praise the Lord. Each one of us have one way to praise the Lord. And for me, it's singing the word. Pastors preach. Singers sing. Servers serve. Ushers serve with their time.
Ush. It's a technical word.
We can keep going. But no, worship music is my treasure. I try to find new meanings and in lyrics of new songs all the time to bring to the church. So try to transform people or try to bring curiosity about the word of the Lord through music. So that's my treasure.
And there's something that's so, it's whole-bodied. Singing is whole-bodied. Even if you don't sing on key, I sing.
That's
because
me.
It's your whole self expressing yourself. Even if you don't fully like believe the words, sing them till you believe them. Sing them out and discover that there's reality in your life. And I love the way you lead us in singing, in worshiping God. And I love that it's something that's been so meaningful to you and has shaped you. And then you're able to use that gift and lead us in doing the same thing. That's profound.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've come to the end of our conversation, and Ricky, you're going to lead us in one more song.
We're going to sing
one. But let me just ask you, have you said what you feel like you wanted to say? You know, I gave you a little bit of heads up that this was coming. You weren't surprised this morning. Anything else that you wanted to say to our church? Or you feel like you've said it? Good. All right. All right. Hey, I really appreciate you coming up and doing this. I want to pray for you before you head down. And if you have questions, if you want to hear more, you can ask them afterward about it or thank them for their courage to share. And I pray that you get a chance to share your stories. There's people in our world, in our neighborhoods, in our families that need to hear the things that God has done in our lives. So, Jesus, I pray that you would lead us to share what you're doing in us, our own Kairos moments, that more people could see you, more people could reflect on what you're doing in their lives, and their trajectory of life would change. And I'm just so grateful, King Jesus, Shepherd Jesus, for how you've led Ricky and Gabby and Wendy, Lord, how you've done these things in their lives. And it's just profoundly amazing, Lord, to hear them witness what you've done. I thank you. And I know that you are still working actively in their lives. So would you bless them today, in the days ahead, as they continue to follow you, Lord, and surprise them with your goodness, and with the vision you continue to give them, for who they are, how you care for them, and how you lead them. Give you thanks for your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.